Welcome back to another episode of Let's Remake a Movie. Prepare to have your mind blown by horrendous plot lines, unforgivable mashups, and so many explosions. Podcast not sponsored by Michael Bay. Suit up, strap in, and let's remake a movie.
We are mashing up Scarface and Elf. Before we ponder the horror that we are about to release onto the universe and perhaps feel some comeuppance for it, what are we doing? How are we mashing up these two movies? What are we thinking?
Don't you mean what the fuck are we doing?
Yes, that too.
Do you know what the fuck we're doing?
Also, we are going to try and say fuck as much as possible because this is a podcast referencing Scarface, and Lord knows they say whatever the fuck they want.
How is that different from me talking any other time?
Yeah, same.
Fair enough.
Although I will say, fun game to play at home. Take any PG or G-rated movie, make it PG-13 by adding one instance of the word fuck. It's a fun brain exercise.
What?
But I think that the best way to approach this would be to take Tony Montana and put him more in an elf sort of circumstance where, you know, and admittedly, in a weird way, there are some similarities because Tony gets out of his home, which is Cuba, and comes to make a new life for himself in the U.S., whereas Buddy the Elf leads his home, you know, on a magical narwhal and comes to the U.S. to meet his father. I think what we could do here is we could take Tony Montana as if he were an elf at the North Pole and bring him down to the U.S. to start his cocaine empire so that he can overthrow Santa, who in this case is more like Alejandro Sosa, to sort of use his network of elves and reindeer.
Don't forget the magic, of course.
To make the greatest cocaine distribution system in the world by taking over the world, essentially. The world is his.
Oh my God. Yeah. The catchphrase for Scarface, the original Scarface, is the world is yours. We can make that literal. So so Tony Montana is going to be using the mystical Santa powers to forge his own cocaine empire.
I think what I also like is just the image originally of Tony Montana before he becomes a cocaine kingpin of just being a Christmas elf. You know, he's building a toy train and sticking cocaine in the caboose.
I think he should be really. I think that he should be like either an outcast elf, or he already has a predilection for like the illegal drug trade, and he's an elf, and he kind of gets caught. So he's working in the North Pole. He's kind of a lowbie on the drug kingpin scale. Like, he's just a mule. He's just a patsy and a go-between. And he has these aspirations for bigger things. And maybe because you have to develop like the evil plot, he gets ousted from the North Pole because the elves and Santa find out about him stuffing coke in cabooses and dollies and all sorts of things, you know, and leaving notes for their, you know, the clients of like, you know, look under the Christmas tree and all of this stuff. And that's where they're smuggling coke in.
There's a lump of something and it ain't cool.
Yeah. And so he gets kicked out of the North Pole and decides he's going to like go big or go home. He's going to develop his business, develop his empire, and then come back and take over the North Pole for revenge on Santa and to take over the world and use the Santa's magic for his nefarious purposes.
That's awesome. Also, because at some point in Scarface, he's working at some food truck or something, so it would work to have Elf Scarface, you know, slumming it as one of Santa's elves making toys or something, and he's just totally miserable and wants so much more with his life.
And it is important to remember, and all of you listeners can take a drink about that, it is important to remember that part of the reason Tony comes to the U.S. is he does have a genuine grievance. It's that he hates Castro and communism, you know, and it's the first crime he commits in the U.S. is he murders one of Castro's top guys. You know, so it certainly would not be out of the question if part of Tony's goal is in overthrowing Santa is, you know, not dissimilar to Tony's goal in Scarface of, you know, toppling the, or not even goal, but his ideals are being strongly anti-communist and taking down any Castro regime members that he happens to come across.
I had actually thought of who is Santa in this, and I had come across the Santa is Fidel Castro metaphor, but I wasn't crazy enough to actually write it down. But my God, Sean, it's perfect.
Well, here's the thing, because Santa is a communist. I think we all know this. You know, it's a situation where, you know, you're judged more on everybody gets something, you know, and that something is more determined by your circumstances in terms of how good or bad you are versus how much money your parents have, because Santa is real.
We're just destroying Christmas. We're not just destroying the movie Elf. We're destroying the concept of Christmas for people.
Capitalism already did that, Connor.
Happy holidays from Let's Remake a Movie. Everything is dismal.
Dun 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 dun. All right.
I mean, with the cocaine element, it does bring a whole new level to let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Oh. I too am dreaming of a white Christmas.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful. All right, that's enough singing.
But the cocaine is so delightful.
Not enough singing, apparently. We're just getting started.
Let us blow, let us blow, let us blow.
Woo! Man, oh man. Listen, we're off to a great start. Okay, so Scarface gets kicked out of the North Pole. He's a political prisoner. Says he's a political refugee from Santa's North Pole communist regime, and he goes to, and the nearest place he can go to is New York City to escape. So he escapes there, and he decides to get into the Christmas business as his way of getting back at Santa and getting revenge.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Is the father, because in Elf, Will Ferrell has a very unhealthy attachment to his father, played by James Caan, even though his father's kind of a dick. Or not kind of a dick, he's a total dick. So are we having the father play be a part of this at all?
So I think the father here, in some ways, and you guys are going to be a little disturbed when I say this, but I promise you it's going somewhere. In some ways, the father character in Elf is not entirely dissimilar to the sister character in Scarface. And what I mean by that is we see Tony Montana comes to the U.S. with these ideals that he has of becoming wealthy and powerful. Similarly, Buddy the Elf has these ideas of, you know, everybody being nice and full of Christmas spirit, not all selfish and things like that. Whereas the father character embodies the antithesis of that, the same way that the sister character sort of embodies the American excess that Tony simultaneously wants but also abhors.
Huh.
In terms of, you know, she's indulging in, you know, going to parties and she's, you know, going to dance clubs. But at the same time, he doesn't think she should have to work. He's trying to give her money. So in some ways, I think this is a good opportunity to add the sister character.
Yes. Okay. So this is all right. So the sister character is just one of his friends. So I there's not really an equivalent to that in Elf, but we can just have the sister character there.
He's got a little brother in Elf, but the little brother is a kid.
Okay, so the sister character is there.
Other possibility is that it's Manny, his right-hand man.
Oh, okay. I like the idea of Manny as the little brother. That kind of works. Because, like, so maybe maybe his father is long lost, and then his father's other son is Manny, and they become right-hand men.
Well, what it could be is that if the father is being replaced by the sister, spoiler alert for an 1983 movie, Manny and Gina do get married in secret. So it could very well be that they're living together and Tony's like, oh, hey, it's, you know, I'm so glad you guys are here. Wait a minute. Why are you two living together? We just live together. You know, we're definitely not married. You know, don't worry about it.
That's okay. And that comes into an awkward situation. Whereas the Will Ferrell elf would just like shout and cry in anguish. The Al Pacino as Scarface would probably go on some rant in his Cuban accent
more than that, he shoots him.
Oh, that's right. Well, that's not till the end. That's because of some creepy stuff he's got going on. So here's where we can introduce, because in Elf, there's Zooey Deschanel as the cute elf or the cute store employee who's an elf that Will Ferrell has a crush on, and she's not interested in him at first, but then she loves him because if there's a guy and a girl, they have to get together in the movies. That's just, it's the law. So who is going to, I think Michelle Pfeiffer as this elf is a natural, that's a natural placement. And the first time Al Pacino sees her in the store, she's a Christmas elf. She looks super miserable. Then Al Pacino goes up to her tenderly and says, "You look like you haven't been fucked in a year."
I love that.
That's a direct quote from Scarface. Before any of y'all get on me, that's a direct quote from Scarface.
And I think it's only fair then if Robert Loggia is the mall Santa.
Okay, so explain why that is, Sean.
Well, part of it is the association with Elvira, or Elvira, as he says, insofar as he begins the movie and they're married. But also he represents, you know, everything that, Tony Montana wants to be and become. And he has everything that Tony wants to be and become.
Okay, yeah, he's the head honcho at first. Okay, yeah. So then he's Santa. Okay, that worked.
And obviously, if in this instance Tony is looking to overthrow Santa, why would it not be all Santas?
Yeah, oh, he's overthrowing the concept of Christmas and taking it over himself. This is epic.
Well, I think it's also sort of like we see it as well when he looks at his sister and that really loud screeching music that would not be out of place in a Stanley Kubrick film starts playing, insofar as it's sort of that, you know, freak out music where you can tell he's seething on the inside and just wants to kill somebody. I think it's sort of like when he thinks of Santa, he sees that. But then when he sees like any other representation of Santa, it's a little bit like PTSD where, you know, suddenly it flips a switch in him where he, you know, needs to take action now.
Yeah.
So okay. Like in Elf, whenever Elf or Will Ferrell's character is told that like Santa is coming, that same freak out mentality that he has, yeah. Like, oh my God, Santa!
I know him!
He has it, but it's more like a nom flashback. Like he gets super triggered.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. About it. So instead of the excited Santa, it's Santa!
I know him, that fucking bastard!
Yeah, that fucking cockroach! Oh man! Oh, and with
everybody
and a classic Al Pacino rant with lots of time saying "fuck" with the Cuban accent, and he starts ranting at Santa because, like in the original, he says like, "You sit on a throne of lies." We can have that where it builds to that where he confronts the Santa in front of all the children and just goes on this big rant and adds Al Pacino when he's just going ham with it.
That really is the scene with Robert Loggia after Pacino's been shot in the club when he just pulls up and goes, "Hey, Frank, you're a piece of shit. You know that?" I was like, "Hey, what are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about, you fucking cockroach." It really is that scene. We can have that scene verbatim, except it's a department store Santa in front of all the children.
Yes, I love this. It's so terrible, but it's brilliant. Oh my God, this is.
And remember that Al Pacino is still dressed like an elf this entire time.
I love the image of Al Pacino dressed as an elf, but as Scarface, and he's just going off. It's wonderful.
They're about the same height.
Al Pacino's five. I mean, Al Pacino's 5'7", so.
Just remember, you know, parents out there, don't let your children listen to this version of Let's Make a Movie. It may reference Santa and Elf, but this is not the one for them. You don't want to have, you know, little Timmy coming up to you and saying, "Daddy, why is Santa getting shot in the head?" Like, you don't want that. Just turn their eyes away.
Daddy, what does it mean when Scarface says this whole town is a pussy just waiting to get fucked?
I'll tell you when you're older, Timmy.
Daddy, is mommy's womb polluted?
Oh my God. Daddy,
is it true that first you get the money and then you get the power and then you get the women?
Yes, it is, Timmy. All right, so Al Pacino, so Scarface confronts the mall Santa, and there's a big shouting match, you know, the Throne of Lies scene. And what happens after that? So does the Santa end up dead?
Can I also just note the irony that in the original Elf, Santa is played by, you know, another person quite often associated with cocaine, Mr. Artie Lang?
Yes, a former sidekick of Howard Stern.
Who else has played Santa Claus in the past? Let's see.
Oh, Richard Attenborough, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. We will spare him.
Mickey Rooney?
Oh, really?
Oh, Jesus.
In one of the Rankin and Bass specials, yes.
Oh.
Year Without a Santa Claus.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. All right. This is getting nowhere.
Speaking of sugar, so after he, like, straight up follows the mall Santa into the back, like, they have an altercation, they end up, like, meeting in the back, and he just ends up absolutely decimating him. We have to have the sugar reference in there somewhere, right?
Yes.
I love sugar, but it has to be about something indulging in his own product.
Booger sugar.
Booger sugar.
God.
All right. So, so maybe one of Santa's goons confronts him about possibly getting about this product. And maybe it's a way for Scarface to start making some money.
You know, because he's got the inside scoop on Christmas and Santa and how to use Santa's magic. So, like, he's the perfect candidate to use that knowledge to be able to transport product.
Not only that, but if Mall Santa is out of the way, that does leave Tony the opportunity to step into the red suit and begin, at least on a small level, giving out gifts for the children that might have a little something extra in them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Get them hooked early.
Parents. Wow. Yeah, like, imagine a tired freaking mom in line, like, you know, "Come on, Sandy Sue, like, we've got to get going," and this and that. And and friggin' Tony looks over by Santa and just says, "Yo, you know, you look a little run down," and says that he's
put
a little.
"You haven't been fucked in a year."
No, he says that to Zoe Deschanel.
Oh, no.
So maybe he tells them that, you know, like, "You've been a very good girl this year. Maybe Santa's got a little something extra." And instead of doing that finger on the side of his nose like Santa does, he does it, but he motions to it like a cocaine.
Oh, God.
This whole time, he should have white powder on his nose as he's Santa Claus.
Geez. And then not only that, Santa's about to make it snow, and he, you know, throws a fistful in the air, and it looks like snow, but If the parents close their eyes and take a deep breath, they might just find it's a little more than snow.
Oh my god.
He's got a snow globe full of cocaine.
This is just becoming bad. This is what do we get ourselves?
Well, yeah, this was your idea, douchebag.
If the cops come by, you could just be like, it's a snow globe. You wouldn't arrest a poor, innocent, you know, mall Santa, would you?
Yes, that's right. Okay, so we have all right, so we've got Santa starting his business. We've had him talk with Zooey Deschanel, so she should be she should start being interested in him because if he's a very enterprising fellow and yeah, and he starts hitting on her and all that. Are we at the point where we do the push it to the limit montage and we show his rise to power? Or are there some other things?
I think that's it. No, like he's in his position. He's defeated the mall store Santa. He has enough like people on his side to make it happen. And he sees the open market of tired fucking parents dragging their whining ass brats into stores. And now he needs a montage where, you know, because supply and demand, where he is pumping all of these toys full of cocaine and trying to
distribute them. You know. That's the push it to the limit song. Come on.
We're going to let you do it.
Push it to the limit. The limit. Walk along the razor's edge.
And in this montage, we see, like Laura said, you know, giving away snow globes, quote unquote, to parents. We see him moving into other malls and things like that. Maybe even we get some, maybe this is how we can get some cameos from some of the other Santas we missed. Oh. Like, you know, you see Tim Allen Santa leaving in exchange for a snow globe. Billy Bob Thornton Santa leaving in exchange for a snow globe.
Oh my God.
And then what it gets to is sort of one of his, you know, when this is happening is also where we get, I believe this is where we get the montage where he also gets married to Michelle Pfeiffer.
That's right. Same montage.
Yeah. So I think also I got to say this makes for a great cameo. I think you might know where I'm going with this. What is the one thing that Tony says that he wants to buy when he gets rich? Anybody?
I forget.
Well, we see it at the wedding.
A tiger?
Yep. Which means that we need a cameo from.
Is it from Joe Exotic?
Yes, it is.
Oh my God.
We've got tigers and drugs. We got to get a cameo from Joe Exotic.
Oh man.
That's just how he gets into the meth business.
I mean, Al Pacino is pretty good looking in 1983. I feel like Joe Exotic would be romantically interested in him.
This is true. This is very true. You know, obviously it's more, I think, of just a brief, you know, you see him poking at the tiger or feeding him an expired hot dog from Walmart or something.
Staff still has both hands.
Of course, that.
Oh man! Oh,
this will be in the time before Indiana Jones showed up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, so this is a pre Joe Exotic. Well, he's also on his rise.
This is us. This is us building like the MCU of Let's Remake a Movie. Like they have to connect somehow.
We're making a cinematic. So not only have we made this fucking monstrosity, which was my idea, but we're also creating a cinematic universe.
This is when Joe Exotic is still Joe Schreibvogel.
That's his actual name.
That was his, I mean, I don't know what the equivalent of a maiden name is for a married man, but yeah, that was his birth name.
That's one of the worst last names I've ever heard in my life. That's fucking awful.
Can you blame him for taking Exotic?
Exotic, no. Yeah. That's such a better name. Holy shit. It'd be like if Diamond David Lee Roth was really David, I was going to say Leibowitz, but Leibowitz is a fine last name. It's like it'd be if he was even worse than that. Let's go on.
Can I just say that in the meantime, like all of these montages are happening, like he's doing this rise to power, he's becoming a kingpin. We have to have at least one cutscene back to the North Pole where Santa, the real Santa, is starting to get worried.
Oh, because someone's cutting into his business.
Yeah, people aren't, there's no like mega demand for Santa. There's just this demand for like this one Santa in New York City.
The sales are going down. And he's starting to notice. He's starting to lay off.
This other Santa has better toys. The parents are buying for their kids.
Yes.
He's looking into his magic snowball and just getting angry.
So now we're setting up a bat. So this would set up, in theory, a final battle where it's Scarface versus Santa, and Santa sends the people to take out Scarface.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ultimately that's going to happen because that's exactly what happens with Sosa as well. Tony shoots the hitman who's going to take out basically the informant to the UN.
That's right.
Instead of blowing up the car because the car's got kids in it.
Okay.
So this could very well be because. What, you know, I think we can get a little more buildup out of this, because this is the one thing that Scarface really has going for it, is that it bubbles and bubbles and bubbles until it finally boils over.
That's right. I do think that we could.
So I think what we could do here is, you know, this is sort of a rising incident where immediately after the montage, Tony doesn't like the interest rate that he's getting from his bank. So he switches to a new banker who turns out to be an undercover cop.
Okay.
Which leads to him going to Sosa one more time and Sosa basically offering him a chance to get away with the crime if he, you know, helps this hitman take out the informant. Okay. So I think Tony the elf needs to do something here that gets him in trouble, that leads to him going back to Santa and Santa basically offering him a way out that he's going to ruin.
Oh, I like that. That's good. Okay, this is now it's all starting to come together. And in the meantime, Michelle Pfeiffer as the Christmas elf is super miserable this whole time because she's got, I think Tony should have all this luxurious stuff in New York City. He should have like a big apartment in Manhattan. He should have all this fancy stuff, like gold, like tacky gold everywhere too, like kind of Trump style gold. And,
sure.
And so then he's got that set up, but his wife, Michelle Pfeiffer, is miserable. And eventually she leaves him.
Yeah, she's going to leave him because, you know, obviously Tony Montana enjoys a certain reputation as being a great movie character, but he's a total asshole.
Oh, he's a terrible person. He's a horrible human
being. When she leaves him, can it be just a scene of, like, she's packed all her bags and, you know, she says, like, the magic's just not there anymore. When I met you, you had, you know, dreams and you were nice to me and I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
It has to end. Okay, we can do that as long as Al Pacino is fucking plastered, and then just looks around at everybody else in the restaurant they're at, and then he just says, "Say goodnight to the bad guy," like in the actual Scarface. Like, we can do the song war as long as it ends with that.
Oh yeah, no, I think that totally angrily and belligerently, like she's just stating her piece and business. And at first it starts off with him asking nicely and then it quickly devolves into him being like, well, you go fuck yourself too.
Yep.
And we haven't said fuck in the last 5 minutes. Y'all are slacking.
and she does have, she does throw a drink on him in the scene. So it's what's in this drink in your face.
See?
All right. So Michelle Pfeiffer has dumped Al Pacino. We'll have him say fuck a lot in this. Like, say goodnight to the fucking bad guy.
Baby, it's fucking cold outside.
And then this should set up the final confrontation. Oh, but we still have, what about the sister? What about Manny and the sister? What's happening with that?
So that's something that gets, well, not even really resolved, but Tony doesn't find that out until he's really already, you know, in deep shit with Sosa Santa.
Okay, so
we care to go here. So we can
we'll go to Santa.
We can hold off here. He's got to do something that gets him arrested or otherwise, you know, prevented from doing business.
He's starting to slip. You know, he's got so much going on. He can't keep track of his suppliers anymore.
He's getting high
in his own supply. Some of his toys, like, they're not as well hidden as they probably should be. Like, parents are starting to notice. And maybe one time, this one, like, Karen mother comes through the store and finds it, and before she even leaves the store finds the like little hidden compartment with the cocaine in it and goes all crazy on him in the store and like starts demanding to speak to his manager and like wants him thrown out as the store Santa, like, and now his whole job is in jeopardy too, and she threatens to call the cops, and so this like ups the tension of the scene, like he's about to lose his position in this.
Yes. Oh.
Only in 2020 would a Karen take down Scarface.
That's true. I'm not sure Scarface could be made today if only because some mother would complain.
Exactly.
And I don't mean Scarface the movie. I mean, literally, I'm not sure Tony Montana would be able to take off.
Some woman. This elf is very scary. We don't like him. And he just goes like, you look like I haven't been fucked in a year. And that's his go-to pickup line. We forgot to mention, and this is my bad. Manny and Scarface are talking to some of the cute elves, like the cute women playing elves in the store. Manny gets rejected, and then Tony says, first you get the money, and then you get the power, and then you get the women, laying out his pickup philosophy.
What I liked about that line, Connor, is you started off as Pacino, went into Schwarzenegger, and finished it up back as Pacino.
First
you get the money, then you get the power.
Yeah, it was power.
Listen, I'm 2 meters deep. You can't expect me to keep my accent straight.
I feel like Al Pacino might have used that excuse a few times in his career.
Especially in Scent of a Woman. Hoo-ah! All right.
We're putting crickets after that.
I'm sorry. I just love those moments where Connor makes a huge landed joke and fuck all nothing happens. It's my favorite.
Oh, come on. The hoo-ha was good. That one was pretty. That one was solid.
That one was good. I got a hinge notification, so I was distracted for a moment.
Oh, okay. Okay, fine. Listen, I thought okay. Sean's interested in his love life. That's why that joke didn't get a laugh.
It says he has a new match and he opens it and it's Al Pacino.
Now, 82, New York, New York.
82.
I don't know. Well, hang on. Now I have to look up how old Al Pacino is. Keep talking amongst yourselves.
Okay. So we've just established with my inconsistent accents that Al Pacino has, you know, he's coached Manny on how to hit on the women. And now it's him versus
Manny. He's only 80. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, now he's a catch, Sean. Go after him. So that's Al Pacino versus Santa. This kind of like back and forth. Santa should send some goons to go after Al Pacino. He should send some leg breakers to New York City. And then the cops are involved.
Yep. So is this this is Santa.
Can it be?
Go ahead. Gosh, go.
Can it be that you remember in the Santa Claus where the elves show up and they're dressed as police officers, but they're all kids? Do you remember that? We should send those guys.
I could absolutely see that being the case. But so is this the final showdown, or is Santa going to offer him one more chance to basically clear the slate? Or is this basically, it's sort of like he duels them to a stalemate and says, take me to Santa. And that's how he gets to see Santa and, you know, basically get one more chance to, you know, do to get back in his good graces, but that he's going to ultimately screw up that will lead to his downfall.
I kind of like the idea of, say, like, Santa offers a peace offering, but it's based on Al Pacino giving up power, and he doesn't want to give up power.
So he needs to do something to show that he's going to stop doing this. So basically, does he need to spend like one day at the mall actually just giving away toys and not, you know, and trying to bring smiles to children's faces instead of giving away cocaine?
Yes.
You fucking wouldn't last an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, God. Like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
And Al Pacino is a master of the slow boil, where slow, just we see him get more and more angry until finally he has a major freak out.
He freaks out at a child.
Yeah, so how's this going to happen? So, you know, the leg breaker elves, who may or may not look like police officer children, show up and basically hold...
with AK-47. Yes,
and basically hold Al Pacino at gunpoint until he, you know, and maybe then they bring in a magic snowball that, you know, Santa talks to him through. And basically Santa says, you know, look, I'll let you wipe the slate clean, but you got to show me that you're serious about getting out of this business. What I want you to do is I want you to have one day where you do nothing but spread Christmas cheer by singing loud for all to hear.
Oh, nice.
And
he concludes with, don't you try to fuck me, Tony. Don't ever try to fuck me. And so basically, you know, Tony Montana now has to spend one day as an actual mall Santa, just being nice, giving away gifts, and maybe even leading a sing-along. How is that going to go?
I think Al Pacino, well, he should try to lead a sing-along, but he clearly doesn't have his heart in it. So it's just like, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you what. And he's just like gritting his teeth through it. And like these annoying ass little fucking kids are just like, sing louder, sing louder. And he's just like trying not to boil over. And eventually some kid keeps poking him on the shoulder to sing louder. And
sing Rudolph, sing Rudolph.
sing Rudolph. And then he flips out his fucking, no, I'm not singing fucking Rudolph.
And is that when he finally goes on his rampage? So he's like flipping tables over. He's knocking over the Christmas tree. It's sort of like when the Grinch finally snaps in the Jim Carrey Grinch movie. And he's, you know, tearing down the Christmas tree.
Yes, I like this.
He should go up to the second floor of the mall and then jump down onto the giant Christmas
tree. Like Kiefer Sutherland?
Try to knock it over. Yeah. Yeah.
Kiefer Sutherland did in that one video that somehow everybody forgot about.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Nobody really. Wasn't he trashed out of his.
Oh, he was hammered at 9 in the morning and decided to dive bomb a Christmas tree.
Okay. Hammered at 9 in the morning.
He had a problem.
I didn't even do that in college. I mean, jeez.
Anyone else care to comment? Josh, Laura?
I said I didn't even
do that. More to be clear, it doesn't count if you're still drunk from the night before.
Thank you. Okay.
Bada bing.
So, all right. So Al Pacino has just gone to this Christmas rampage after some little fucking kid told him to sing Rudolph. So then Santa should be apoplectic because Al Pacino ruined his side of the deal.
Was that from your word of the day calendar, Connor?
What?
Apoplectic, you asshole. You know exactly what I mean.
I mean, it seemed like a good word to use at that moment.
How would Al Pacino say apoplectic?
Apoplectic!
And how would Alan Rickman say apoplectic?
Oh my God.
Apoplectic.
And how would Arnold Schwarzenegger say apoplectic?
Apoplectic!
Oh, you amuse me.
What other? I could do Bruce Springsteen singing it. Apoplectic. That was.
Instead of being apoplectic.
All right. Hey, all right. That was fun.
Apoplectic. That's
all right. That was fun. That was fun with words. So, all right. So Santa's pissed. Is that better, Sean? Is that was not the one? That was not the word of the day.
That's fine. Yeah. So Santa's pissed, but at this point, Pacino is in such a. You know, he's done a few lines at this point. He's so fueled with rage and cocaine that he decides to stop by and see his sister and Manny, who he knows can, are the two people in the world he can trust the most. And that's when Manny answers the door, and his sister is there. He sees the wedding rings on their fingers, and he just does what now?
Oh, he kills him.
Yeah, I know. I was hoping somebody would take the ball and run with it.
Okay. So Al Pacino is several lines deep, and he's just start flipping the hell out or flipping the fuck out. How could I not swear in that instance? I'm ashamed of myself there. But okay. So he starts flipping the fuck out, but he ends up shooting the guy, and then he runs off because that's what happens in the original Scarface. Because he realizes Santa's goons are after him, so he has to go back to his home base and start to load up.
Exactly. But I think they also need to take the sister with them the same way that they do in the movie, because okay. She needs to also have her understandable breakdown.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. This is turning into a fucked up situation.
Have you seen Scarface, Connor?
Yes, I watched it for this.
Right.
I should have known what I was getting myself into.
Yeah, I do, guys. Come on.
All right, so this sets up a big gunfight with lots of violence. Santa's sending his elves to take down Pacino, but he's got this big machine gun, so none of them are taking him down. But then his sister comes in and is starting to shoot him. So, but then one of Pacino's goons takes her out, but then Pacino takes that guy out.
Yes. So at this point,
can we also just to have the mood set, like, because we've burned Push It to the Limit enough.
I'm sorry.
What? No, in a good way, but like to bring it back to the elf montage too. Like, should there be like just like in some of those like firefights, some like really slow, beautiful Christmas song playing in the background as like slow mo explosions and bullets are ricocheting off of things.
Oh, here's how Santa gets to New York. Is Santa's sleigh is powered by Christmas cheer. So Al Pacino realizes he's safe at his place, but then one of Santa's minions tells all the people of New York City to start singing, and Al Pacino starts flipping out and trying to dupe people, but doesn't stop the singing, and Santa's sleigh gets to Al Pacino's place, and then sets up the final gunfight.
Yeah.
Okay, let's run with that. Come on, people. All right, so gunfights. Santa's elves are coming in, and then Al Pacino locks the door. The Santa's elves are bashing down the door, and then this is.
We're coming down the chimney.
Coming down the chimney works too. Okay, and then this sets up. So people are coming down the chimney. Pacino's getting rocked, but then he points a big rocket launcher at the chimney, and this is where we said, "Say hello to my little friend." And then it blows up the chimney.
Does the rocket launcher look like the grenade launcher look like a candy cane?
Sure, why the hell not? So candy cane rocket launcher destroys the chimney. Santa and his elves need to find another way to get into the house.
I live in an apartment. When Santa comes to me, he comes through the front door.
Okay, so we'll go through the front door.
I think that's Santa. I try not to ask any questions.
Okay, moving on. Laura has not had enough drinks for this, so I'll keep the plot going. So gunfights, they bash down the front door. Pacino starts hunting people down, but then Santa has to be the one to get the final shot on Scarface.
In this case, Santa is the Skull. Yes, that character with the shotgun has a name. It's the Skull.
Okay, cool. So Santa is the Skull. He gets out the final shot. Should he say a one-liner as he does this, like ho, 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 or something like that?
No, I don't think so. I think the Skull takes him out silently, but, you know, maybe he's got a kiss-off line after he falls into the pool.
Okay. And then what if it'd be funny if it was like, Merry Christmas!
And a Happy New Year! You better watch out!
You better not...
Yeah!
That's better. So it's Al Pacino just laid out in the pool or whatever, and Santa has taken down Scarface, but then he has to get into his sleigh and fly away to deliver all the Christmas toys.
For all the good girls and boys.
That's right. And what about the parents who have to go to rehab?
That sucks for them, don't it?
Yeah, well, they did it to themselves. All right, so I think we wrote this whole movie. I feel a bit unclean, but I had a good time doing it.
I feel apoplectic.
Now, when this movie is made,
Jack, go.
When this movie's made, can they use real cocaine on the set?
No, absolutely not.
I don't know. Let's ask our lawyer. Is there a law against that?
Yeah,
yes, there is, but we also want them to finish the movie.
That's right. So We are putting our foot down, Josh. That's the one line we won't cross.
The actors show up and they're like, who's producing this movie? And then the producer shows up and it's Charlie Sheen.
That actually does raise a good question. Who is making this movie? Obviously, because we got Brian De Palma directed Scarface. John Favreau, that's right.
All right, well, MCU.
Who? Who, Josh?
The MCU.
Oh, the MCU. Oh, Jesus.
The Gunn Brothers.
The Gunn Brothers.
This is one of those movies that they give to a director and say you have to make this in order to make your passion project. Right. Like, you have to.
Maybe.
You know what
maybe
I mean?
Maybe this is like what Damien Chazelle made before he had to make Whiplash or something like that. He's like, you get to make your drummer movie, but first you have to make this. We're doing Elf with Scarface. Yes, make the fucking movie.
All right, this could be fallout from for Zack Snyder for Batman versus Superman.
I like that better. He has to make this monstrosity as punishment for Batman v Superman. Can I have them reconcile by having their moms have the same name? No, you cannot. Make the movie.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
We obviously cannot do a sequel, so that's just it, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, so what? Well, yeah. Well, here's something that could happen. So after Scarface came out, long after Scarface came out, probably 20 years later, there was a video game that acted as a quote-unquote sequel called Scarface, The World is Yours. Mm-hmm. The one thing that it did, it basically spat in the face of the continuity and basically had Tony Montana at the last second turn around and kill the guy who shoots him.
Oh.
And then basically clear out the house. So, you know, it really does depart from the script in that way. But I suppose if we were to make a video game about this, what kind of game would it be?
I think it would be him versus Santa, like, and that continued fight where Santa is like his Bowser, the constant antagonist.
Why don't we just have a Mortal Kombat style
game? Yeah, I was gonna say. So is that a fighting game, or is that like a platformer, or is it like a shooter?
I mean, Mortal Kombat is a fighting game, but I feel like if we made it, like,
I feel like it should be a shooter just because of the genre, better. You know?
Shooter works better.
Can we just have it be Doom with like a Christmas overlay?
Sure, why not? That's lazy enough for this video game adaptation. And most video game adaptations suck anyway.
They did do that with another video game, and now I can't think of what it is that I've started saying it. Chex Quest.
Chex Quest?
It was a serial
promotion. You know why I know that?
I remember that.
Did you see that on Angry Video Game?
I think
Nerd?
I might
have.
Yeah. Brutal Chex.
I played Chex Quest, that friggin' game. Oh my God.
I was actually gonna make an Angry Video Game Nerd reference. I was gonna say the game should be made by LJN. If anyone gets that shot.
I do not. It is Chex Quest is described as a non-violent first-person shooter.
Yeah, that rare non-violent shooter. Oh my gosh.
I love that I text you guys. Yeah, I love that I text you guys now. I'm like, hang on, getting drinky poos. Be there in a second.
Yeah.
You didn't say, what's your drink this evening?
My drink this evening, I don't know because it's empty.
What was it?
It was a beautiful 12-year-aged Highland Scotch. Single barrel. Lovely.
I had an IPA. But I'm not as sophisticated as you.
I enjoyed a Diet Coke about an hour ago.
Mm.
There you go.
Cool. And Josh, did you get trashed before this?
I didn't, but I did have some emergency.
What flavor was it?
Orange, the Immune Plus.
Ooh, that's the good stuff. God.
Hardcore.
You know what? Believe it or not, it does actually taste like a less sweet orange soda. Not the worst thing I've ever tasted.
It does.
Nah.
I have a question. So I think one of the things that happens with holiday movies, mm-hmm. especially with Christmas movies, is networks like will latch on to one or two for the holidays and play them ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have seen some pretty, you know, PG-13, like NC-17, like on TV, but they just cut things or bleep them out, mm-hmm. or, you know, dub over, this is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps, or like mm-hmm. whatever, they like dub them over so they can put them on TV.
Yeah.
Do you think that TBS will decide that this is the all-day movie they will play in lieu of Elf this Christmas?
I think Hallmark, actually.
Hallmark.
I was going to go with, like, FXX, but I was telling Connor before we got started that, and maybe you guys had similar experiences, but the vast majority of times that I've seen Scarface is on, you know, TMC, but like AMC,
yeah.
censored,
yeah.
and it's like, you know, a four-hour affair with all the commercials. The first time I watched it all the way through uncensored was in preparation for this, so they seem to love Scarface. I see no reason why they wouldn't latch onto this as well.
Yeah, they're just gonna have to censor half of it.
Wait, AMC, it's A Merry Christmas.
I see what you did there. That's funny.
And so they'll start playing this, and that's where we'll get all of the money.
No one will actually go to see it in the theater, but then they'll play it on. They'll need a Christmas movie to play on Christmas, and then they'll play this, and that's where we'll make all our.
Unless, of course, this may be the perfect marketing opportunity we haven't latched onto yet. No. Okay, so here's my pitch. You ready? What are we gonna call this? Not elf face. It's gotta be like something.
Scarf.
I was gonna call it scarf.
Scarf. Scarf. The happy Merry Christmas, motherfuckers. So, picture it. The moms are dragging the husbands to the mall to try to shop for Christmas presents that we all know our mothers gave to us anyways, and that dad's name just went on the card. We get it. What if we market this as like boyfriend / daddy daycare during Christmas shopping? Drop your husbands off for this 4-hour movie.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That is brilliant.
Guns and violence, and pick them up when you're done.
That's perfect.
So that they're not in the way.
Oh, man.
And then the guys will all thank us because they'll just get to see like tits and coke and fucking murders for 4 hours. And all of the girls, I mean, or vice versa. I'm sure that there's some girls who'd rather watch,
Scarface.
You know, a Scarface than go Christmas shopping.
All right. Well, we got the movie. We managed to mash up this unholy monstrosity. And we managed to get a healthy number of times saying fuck. And we even got a marketing opportunity about this. I consider this a success.
Yes. Multifaceted win. Merry Christmas.
We're not just thinking about the movie. We're thinking about so many different aspects of this. I love it. So good work, y'all.
Wait, we could do what Elf did and have like an animated special afterwards.
Ooh, I'm not against that. That sounds like it could be good. Scarface the cartoon.
On Nickelodeon.
Yeah. It's all about the toy making aspects of it.
Little Scarface.
Little Scarface. Oh, no.
Scarfy. Little Scarfy.
Scarfy. And then it's just this guy, this high-pitched voice, like saying all the filthy lines from Scarface. But
right. First you get the money, then you get the power, then you get the women.
You look like you haven't been fucked in a year. Her womb is polluted. She can't give me a baby.
Oh my god. I just picture some 8-year-old saying all this shit. All right, well, we did it. Good work, everybody. Good work, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Remake a Movie.
Laura, want a drink?
Yes.
You've earned it, Laura. Connor, play us out.
Scarface Christmas. He grew up in Santa's town. Then they wanted to take him down, but Santa and his elves had another plan. It's a Scarface Christmas. They kicked him out from the North Pole, but then he found another goal. Conquer Christmas and own it like only he can. He went to New York City, started working at the mall. He's nothing now, but pretty soon he's gonna have it all. It's a Scarface Christmas. It's a Scarface Christmas. He's building his retail empire. Every victory fuels his fire. He's getting rich off kids and their parents. It's a Scarface Christmas. Women at his beck and call. Tony's close to owning it all. But Santa's not gonna let him have this win. Santa's headed to the city with the power of Christmas cheer. He's gonna take Scarface out and bring himself some cheer. It's a Scarface Christmas.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Let's Remake a Movie. We hope you enjoyed it, and if you want to support us,
Like, subscribe, and if you're listening on Apple, rate us 5 stars. We're available on all major platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Let's Remake a Movie, and send us your ideas for which movies we should remake next. Thank you so much, and see you next time.